The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 1, text number 10, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 11th, 2010, in Lanesha, South Africa.
So, today, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are blessed with the most auspicious opportunity to study the Srimad Bhagavatam according to the parampara. In other words, there are mental speculators who talk about Bhagavatam, but such discussions have no value. In fact, they can even be harmful for one's spiritual progress. But we are most fortunate that we have the parampara authentic version, so we can understand actually what is the true meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and in this way become enlightened and delivered from all the sufferings of this material existence. So today we will study the first canto, the first chapter, text number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prayanalpa yushasabhya kalavasmin yuge jana mandasumandamatayo mandabhagya hyupadruta. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. Purport. The devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the spiritual improvement of the general public. When the sages of Naimisharanya analyzed the state of affairs of the people in this age of Kali, they foresaw that men would live short lives. In Kali Yuga, the duration of life is shortened, not so much because of insufficient food, but because of irregular habits. By keeping regular habits and eating simple food, any man can maintain his health. Overeating, over sense gratification, over dependence on another's mercy, and artificial standards of living sap the very vitality of human energy. Therefore, the duration of life is shortened. The people of this age are also very lazy, not only materially, but in the matter of self-realization. The human life is especially meant for self-realization. That is to say, man should come to know what he is, what the world is, and what the supreme truth is. Human life is a means by which the living entity can end all the miseries of the hard struggle for life in material existence, and by which he can return to Godhead, his original home. Rather, the word is his eternal home. But due to a bad system of education, men have no desire for self-realization. Even if they come to know of it, they unfortunately become victims of misguided teachers. In this age, men are victims not only of different political creeds and parties, but also of many different types of sense gratificatory diversions, such as cinemas, sports, gambling, clubs, mundane libraries, bad association, smoking, drinking, cheating, pilfering, bickerings, and so on. Their minds are always disturbed and full of anxieties due to so many different engagements. In this age, many unscrupulous men manufacture their own religious faiths, which are not based on any revealed scriptures. And very often people who are addicted to sense gratification are attracted by such institutions. Consequently, In the name of religion, so many sinful acts are being carried on, and the people in general have neither peace of mind nor health of body. The student brahmachari communities are no longer being maintained, and householders do not observe the rules and regulations of the grihastha ashram. Consequently, the so-called vanaprasthas and sannyasis who come out of such grihastha ashrams are easily deviated from the rigid path. In the Kali Yuga, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. Men are no longer interested in spiritual values. Material sense gratification is now the standard of civilization. For the maintenance of such material civilizations, man has formed complex nations and communities, and there is a constant strain of hot and cold wars between these different groups. It's become very difficult, therefore, to raise the spiritual standard due to the present distorted values of human society. The sages of Naimasharanya are anxious to disentangle all fallen souls, and here they are seeking the remedy from Srila Sutta Goswami.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghana Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Vavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitamscha.
So it's pretty heavy. It's very heavy. It's so heavy, we sometimes don't realize how heavy it is. The civilization. We become desensitized. We can go into a grocery store and we can walk by the meat department and not even think anything about it. My own mother has been slaughtered. Her body is there being, her bodily parts are being sold. And people are taking my mother's bodily parts home and eating them. As you can imagine, the horrors that are considered normal, everyday, daily affairs in this modern world society. People go down to get an abortion like having a tooth pulled. Murdering their own child like having a rotten tooth pulled out by the dentist. I mean, it's very bad. It's so bad we have to not realize how bad it is just so we can function, actually. But when we read the from the Bhagavatam, we realize it's much worse than we really think it is. It's much worse. We take this modern-day civilization for granted. With all of its technological advancement, we think, oh yes, very nice. But what price we have paid, how much we have, this modern civilization is violating the laws of nature. What price we have paid for this little progress we have. And even that progress, how perfect is it? It's full of so many imperfections. So if we want actual progress, then we have to reconnect with the source of our existence. We are meant to live in a state of perfect harmony with all living beings. By reconnecting with the very source of our existence, who reveals himself in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, text number 8, Aham sravasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate iti madva bhajante vang buddha bhava samanvata. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. This is what is lacking in the world. People do not know where we have come from. This rascal scientist, Dr. Stephen Hawking, he says, the universe comes out of absolutely nothing. And he's being celebrated as the greatest scientist. He wrote one book, he sold 10 million copies of this book. Can you imagine? These are the people who are being appreciated as the great thinkers of the modern day world, who say that everything comes out, the universe comes out of absolutely nothing. And that he claims to be a scientist. Is that scientific? Where is the scientific experiment where you can get something out of nothing? Has any scientist ever taken nothing and gotten something out of it? Has it ever been done by any scientist? No. It's never been done in any laboratory or any test tube. Any common person knows you don't get something out of nothing. How many of you have ever popped popcorn? Do you have popcorn in South Africa? It's very popular in America. Yeah. So when you make the popcorn, do you start with an empty pot? You just put an empty pot on the stove, and out of that pop comes pop, 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 fills up with popcorn. No. You put some kernels in there, a little ghee or some corn oil or something, some oil, you see. You get it very hot, and then pop, 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 pop. Now, if you don't offer to Krishna, it is popcorn. But if you don't offer to Krishna, it's prasad. If you do offer to Krishna, it's prasad. Otherwise, it's truly popcorn. So anyway, any average person knows you don't get popcorn out of an empty pot. But this scientist, so-called scientist, he wants us to believe the universe comes. This universe is popped out of an empty pot. It's come out of absolutely nothing, you see. And these are the people who are considered the great thinkers, the leaders of the society, the pundits, the brains behind where our technology is going, where our society is going. So you can see why we're suffering so much. These atheistic rascals, they're celebrated as the great thinkers of the day. So, Mother Bhumi, she's crying, and she's in great distress right now. Bhumi is in great distress. She's feeling greatly burdened by these rascal demons who are exploiting her resources simply for sense gratification. They are raping Mother Bhumi, actually. Every day she's being raped by these rascal demons. As the Archbishop of Canterbury stated, they want the kingdom of God without God, but they cannot have it. You cannot have it. Devotee of the Lord, you see, he has access to everything. Just like the loyal son, He has access to all of his father's wealth, all of his father's property. He has access. Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 22, Ananyaschintayantomang ye jana paryapasate te shandachibhyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they love. Krishna provides to his devotees everything they need, material and spiritual. One may say, well, I'm a devotee, so why am I not getting everything? Well, how much of a devotee am I really? You see, that we have to analyze. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, that means a pure devotee. You see, so how pure am I? 1% pure? Of course, we're all pure devotees in one sense. I just read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how the pure devotee, he can advance to being a it's amazing. It probably says the pure devotee can advance to being a madhyam and an uttama. So in this particular verse, Prabhupada is someone who is sincerely faithful in the process but is still a neophyte. He's considered pure, even though he's only a kanishta. And then, Prabhupada actually explains how there's a kanishta pure devotee, a madhyam pure devotee, and an uttam pure devotee. So if you're sincere, even if you're a neophyte, Krishna considers you pure. Even if you're not completely pure yet, if you're in the shower, you're considered clean. If you're in the shower and you're sincerely scrubbing away at the dirt, Krishna says, oh, this person is pure, even though there's still the impurities there. So this is encouraging for us neophytes who are struggling to get rid of our impurities, you see. That Krishna sees the sincerity and he recognizes a devotee who's sincerely trying to get free of his anarthas as being pure because of his sincerity. So 1% pure, 2% pure. According to our degree of purity, according to our degree of sincerity, Krishna reciprocates. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 11. Inasmuch as they surrendered, yayatamang prapajyante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. No. What is it? Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O Sanaprita. So, whatever amount of surrender you can muster, do that. If you can surrender 1% to Krishna, then do that. And Krishna will appreciate, oh, this person is sincerely giving as much as they can muster. They're 1%. Now let me help them come to 2%. You see? Even if I cannot surrender 100% now, I still have so many material attachments. Whatever I can do for Krishna, let me do that with full sincerity, you see. And then Krishna will reciprocate with that and help me come to the next step, the next step, the next step, the next step, the next step. In this way, any devotee can progress all the way to 100% pure bhakti. Doesn't matter how fallen a devotee may be, how neophyte he may be, if he or she sincerely strives to make progress on this pathway back to home, back to Godhead, then Krishna will very kindly help that devotee. Tesham chatati yuktanam bhajatam pritti purvakam. The Dami Buddha Yogam Tam Yena Mamma Piyantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which to come to me. So, is there any difficulty to always be devoted to Krishna? Is that difficult or is it easy to always be devoted 24 hours a day? It's actually easy, but we make it difficult because we lack faith. Just like that Draupadi, She had faith, but she still thought, let me keep one hand on the sari, just in case. One hand to Krishna. I have faith, but just in case Krishna doesn't take care of me, I'm going to keep one hand on the sari myself. Well, did that work? No, it didn't work, did it? She had faith in Krishna, but she wasn't completely putting faith. One hand to Krishna, the other hand holding on to my sari. So we are like that. We are like Draupadi. We are putting one hand to Krishna and the other hand to Maya. My education, my job, my intelligence, Maya. One hand to Krishna and one hand to Maya. So, we're struggling with the material energy, and guess who's winning? The material energy is winning. It's like Draupadi losing her sari. The Kurus were winning. Who was pulling? Dushasan? Who was actually doing the pulling? Huh? Dushasan? She was losing out in that battle. So, we have to put both hands in Krishna. And my dear Lord, I'm helpless. I may struggle in this material existence to be happy, but by my struggling, I will get nowhere except into misery. So therefore, my Lord, now I fully put myself under your protection, under your shelter. And I beg you for the mercy, please save me, my Lord, from this quagmire of material existence. The hard rain of Kali is falling. Right now we are being inundated by the Kali Yuga. The hard rain of Kali Yuga is inundating us. That's a thing. So there's another rain. That is the rain of mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We have to beg Lord Chaitanya for that mercy. That his rain cloud of mercy will inundate us. If we beg for that mercy with all sincerity, then Lord Chaitanya will inundate us with his mercy. And that is given in the scriptures. It is predicted, Taj jana dar jana pangu jadda anagana prema van yaya du baila jagatara jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is a prema tsunami. It is a tidal wave of Krishna prema. And it will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, whether they are pious, impious, lame, invalid, or blind. Everyone will become inundated in this prema tsunami. So the spiritual master, he is bringing that rain cloud of mercy. And he is extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence within our hearts. At the present moment, our hearts are blazing with lust, with anger, with greed, with madness, illusion, and what's the last one? Envy. We are burning in this forest fire of material desire. But the spiritual master, he very kindly brings the rain cloud of mercy, which is drawn from the ocean of Krishna. And he showers that rain cloud of mercy upon us to save us from the Kali Yuga, to bring us out of the hellish nightmare of material existence. So if we will simply take shelter of Sri Guru and Sri Krishna, by their combined mercy, all of our problems of material existence will be solved. That doesn't mean to say we won't get sick, we won't get old, and we won't die. No, it means we won't have to take another material body that gets sick, that gets old and dies. And it also means that even while within this aging, disease-prone, death-prone material body, we will not be affected by its miseries. We will be transcendental to its miseries. In other words, in the body but not identifying with the body. If someone thinks, I am the body, and that body gets old, it's very depressing. If the body becomes sick and diseased, it's very depressing if one thinks, I am the body. Your whole concept of who you are now is being eroded by sickness and old age. You see? But if you realize it's not me, it's just a vehicle that I was given. Just like you work for some company and they give you a company car, you know. And when the company car gets old and worn out, does it disturb you? No, because they're going to give me a new one pretty soon. Don't you worry. It means I'm in line for a new car pretty soon. So there's no anxiety for a person who understands I'm the spirit soul. When his body becomes old and useless, it's not a cause of anxiety, it's a cause of happiness. Well, pretty soon I'm going to get a brand new one. I get a trade-in. The boss is setting me up for a trade-in. I see. This one's still getting too old and worn out. I get a trade-in here pretty soon. Get to upgrade. I see. My old computer is a clinker, so that I'm going to get it upgraded now to a new, super slick, state-of-the-art, the latest version laptop, you see. So it's same thing with the material body. Well, this one's now, you know, obsolete. It's worn out, but I'll get a new one. In fact, I'm going to get it upgraded. I hear that I have a good chance of getting upgraded to a spiritual body. Mm-hmm. Either that or a brand new material one, you see, that doesn't have all the bad karma that this one had. You see, either way, you can't lose. Even if you don't become completely pure and you take birth again, because you were a devotee, you were trying your best, Krishna is going to give you another material body in an auspicious situation to continue to Krishna consciousness. Because you had surrendered to Krishna, you had become free practically from all of your past sins. So that means your next body won't have all this bad karma your present body has. Won't have all that bad karma to deal with. You get a pretty, pretty good body. If you get another material body, you're pretty good, but it'd be pretty, say damn good. Pretty damn good material body. If you don't go back to Godhead, you're going to get a very good material body to continue serving Krishna. And if you really excel at the moment of death by really being fixed in Krishna consciousness, if you ace the exam, that's why we have these classes. We want to help. We have these classes to help you. You'll ace the, as they say in America, I don't know what they say here, but ace the exam means to make an A, 100% on the exam. See, I aced it. So if you can ace the final exam, the time of death, then you immediately get promoted to Goloka Vrindavan. You get a spiritual body. It never gets sick, never gets old, never dies. You see? So either way, you can't lose. You get a very good material body to continue serving Krishna, a really good material body, with good brain, good strength, everything good, powerful, in a very auspicious situation. You get another material body, or you get a spiritual body. You can't lose. So Krishna consciousness is for winners. The material world is for losers. You want to be a loser? Well, continue engaging in material sense gratification. And I guarantee you, you will be the loser. Absolutely, you will be the loser. You want to be a winner, take to Krishna consciousness seriously. Follow the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita with all seriousness. Bhaktyamam avijanati yavanyashtatmi tatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishite taranantaram. One can understand me as I am only by pure devotional service. And one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So, where do you want to go? It's your choice. Where would you like to be when you leave this body? Your choice. You're creating your next body right now. By your every thought, your every word, your every deed. In all times, places, and circumstances, you are creating your next material body. Our spiritual body, your next body, material or spiritual, you're creating it right now. You're forming your next body right now. So you decide what kind of body you want and adjust your consciousness accordingly. And that is called Krishna consciousness, you see. To live the life in such a way that no more taking birth again, you see. Aha brahma bhuvana loka punaravartinarjana mamupechitakonteya punarjanmanavidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest planet, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But he who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, punarjanmanavidyate, he never takes birth again. So if you will take full advantage of this process, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. These are the three points emphasized by Srila Rupa Goswami in the nectar of, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. If you will focus your life around, you will pivot your life, base it on these three points, then you will be successful in going back to Godhead. Why are these three very important? Look at this microphone stand. How many legs does it have? Three. If it had two legs, would it stand on its own? No. If it had one leg? No. When there's three, then it's a solid position, you see. So, the three legs of bhakti have been emphasized by Srila Rupa Goswami. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and follow the orders of the bona fide spiritual master. If you will focus on these three things, you'll make sure that your life is based on these three principles, then your spiritual perfection is guaranteed. That's all you got to do. Focus on those three things. Shelter, diksha, and instructions. That's all you got to do. Get sheltered, get initiated, and follow the instructions. That's all you have to do. Those three things. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. Very good. And I'd like to see a nice stack of questions. Very good. Where does the soul reside in one's body? Within the heart. The physical heart is the sitting place for the soul. Also, where does the super soul reside? They're sitting side by side. They're both seated within the heart. How can we become fixed in devotional service? Well, I just told you the three legs. Shelter, diksha, and follow the instructions. That'll make you fixed. I've heard recently that when Krishna appeared, he appeared when the world was made up of one land mass, all continents were joined. Is there any Vedic references to how the continents separated over time? Well, I don't know. I didn't hear that. I haven't read that anywhere in Prabhupada's books that it was one land mass at that time. So I'm not sure that's true. Although it could have been, but I haven't heard anything either way from Prabhupada that I can remember. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how can we become humble and tolerant? Well, the easy way to become humble and tolerant is to always give all respect to others, especially the Vaishnavas. Especially to all the Vaishnavas, you should always be very much in the mood of appreciating all of the devotees. Even if you've had a disagreement with some devotee wronged you, actually, and you have a right to find fault with them, you could say, because they truly wronged you. Even if that happened, rise above it. Forgive them. Because it's really your own karma coming back on you. You can't really blame anybody for anything. It's your own karma. Others are simply delivering your own karma to you. So therefore, you should always see this person is a great soul because they are serving the mission of Lord Chaitanya in their own way, according to their own talents and abilities. So let me always appreciate all the devotees. If you have this mood, then naturally you'd be humble. Otherwise, it'll be artificial. You think, yeah, this guy is really a jerk, but Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You see? It'll be artificial, a show of humility. But if you really appreciate, well, he really has this, I see a sincerity in him. Look for the good qualities in the person, in every person, every devotee especially. Even the non-devotees, ultimately. But start off with the devotees, you see. That's where you begin. Because our relationships, our intimate relationships are with Vaishnavas, not with the non-devotees. You can't have an intimate relationship unless you make them a devotee. The real intimacy isn't there with a non-devotee. Because they don't have Krishna. Krishna is the basis of a true intimate relationship. That's it. How do we deal with devotees who ignore other devotees and are unfriendly? Well, I just answered that one. And are unfriendly. I just answered that one. Appreciate their good quality. Now, if in spite of your appreciation, they're still rude and crude in their behavior, then you can appreciate them from a distance. It's like the Ritviks, We appreciate them from a distance. If you want to call them, sometimes we don't even call them devotees, but sometimes I think they're demons who are posing as devotees coming to destroy ISKCON. But we can also think they're devotees. But keep a distance. Because they're trying to disrupt our ISKCON movement, our society. Trying to create chaos and destroy this movement. Therefore, we keep them at a distance, even though we appreciate that they're chanting Hare Krishna. Why do we have to come to the temple when the Lord is everywhere? Well, do you see Him everywhere? Do you have the vision to see Krishna within every atom and between every atom? If not, you better go to the temple. Because there He's being worshipped in the Arch of Vigraha. And for a neophyte, Krishna is very easily seen in the deity. You see, the Paramahamsa, he can see Krishna everywhere. But if you're not a Paramahamsa, then I advise you go to the temple and take darshan. But as you become more and more awakened, you will actually gradually see Krishna everywhere. But now as a neophyte, you must go to the temple. And even when you're a Paramahamsa, you will still go to the temple to teach the neophytes by your example. Prabhupada was the greatest Paramahamsa. He regularly went to temple. How do we generate and maintain enthusiasm in devotional life? Take it as the order of the spiritual master. As Prabhupada told me, he said, I see you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. If you will simply continue enthusiastically as you are doing, surely Krishna will bless you. So I advise that from my own experience that I took it as an order from Prabhupada to always be enthusiastic through all kinds of situations, in sickness, in health, in poverty, in wealth, whatever position you may be in, always be enthusiastic. And Prabhupada guaranteed to me, he assured me that Krishna will bless you if you do this. So I found out it was true. Krishna does. So just maintain your enthusiasm for the sake of getting Krishna's mercy. That's the secret. Just understand, if I keep my enthusiasm in all circumstances, Krishna will keep showering the mercy. If you want to get that shower of mercy from Krishna at every minute, keep that enthusiasm at every minute. From the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed at night, always be enthusiastic to hear, chant, remember, and serve that all-beautiful, all-powerful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous personality named Govinda Shamasundar Krishna. Is it? Next question. How do we give back to Krishna? How do we say thank you to Krishna? By surrendering, giving your whole life to Krishna. Krishna is giving himself fully to you, so if you really want to thank him, now you must fully give yourself to him. That's all. Anything else will not be sufficient. There's only one way to thank him, that's fully give yourself to him, as confirmed by Krishna himself. Sarvadharman padit jarja mame kang sharanang raja ahang kang sarvabhapebhyo mokriyashami mahashuchaha. Please, can you help when we say chant sincerely and pray sincerely? How do we do this? Well, if you fell off the edge of a cliff and on the way over you just happen to grab a branch of a tree and you're hanging just over the edge of the cliff and you know there's people walking on the pathway regularly, every 5 or 10 minutes somebody is coming along that pathway. Now, how sincerely would you call for help? Would you take it as some kind of joke like, help? Help? Or would you cry with desperation, help? Help? You see? So you have to understand, you're crying, you're crying to Krishna to save you from your hellish, nightmarish position in the cycle of birth and death. So if you understand your position, there's no question of sincerity. It's a matter of desperation. Anybody who's desperate, when they call, it is full-on sincerity, believe me. It's full-on. A desperate person will have all sincerity, even if you don't know the language. Just like some building, let's say you're visiting some foreign country and you're in some building and the building is on fire. You don't even know the word for fire in the local language. How will you convince the residents to get out of the building? If you don't know the word for fire, I guarantee you, if you have the passion and the determination and the sincerity, they'll understand there's an emergency and it's time to get out. Just by your mood. So in the same way, we have to call, there had mood that has to be there. I'm in a building that is on fire. Krishna, please save me. I'm in a building called this material body, which is on fire by birth. It's blazing in the blaze known as birth, death, old age, and disease. I'm in this horrible blaze right now. Krishna, help me, please, Krishna. You see? So, how... If you understand you're in a blazing fire right now, you're being destroyed in a blazing fire, that will be the sincerity of your chanting will automatically be there. But you would think, yeah, this body's pretty cool. Enjoy a little sense gratification today, a little sense gratification tomorrow. Well, your chanting is not going to be very sincere because you don't want to get out. You're thinking you can hang around, maybe a little later in my life I'll get serious about Krishna consciousness. Now I'm chanting out of duty. Yeah. You may not have another one day even. You see? That could have been death. That could have been the moment of death for all of us. When the lights went out, you see? So sincerity means that you understand the position that you're in. You understand you're in a very precarious position. And there's no hope except for taking shelter of Krishna. Oh, here comes the light. Okay. I'm going to pull out mine. You got to read the questions here. Okay, the next question is, how can I train my mind to constantly think of Krishna and to overcome my laziness? Well, it's the same principle. The same principle. Laziness is overcome by love. In other words, if you love someone, there's no question of laziness. If you love somebody, you'll work hard to please them 24 hours a day, and you'll never think it is work. You will just feel the happiness of giving loving service to them, that's all. Laziness comes by a false sense of bodily identification. Laziness is a symptom of the mode of ignorance. So if you simply develop love for Krishna, your laziness will automatically go away. And as far as constantly thinking of Krishna, it's very simple. As soon as you see that you're forgetting Krishna, say, "My dear Lord, I'm so sorry. I've committed a great offense. I've forgotten about you. Now please bless me, O Lord, that I'll never forget you ever again." In this way, constantly beg Krishna. Every time you see that your mind is drifted away, you beg for his mercy. "My dear Lord, please forgive me. I forgot it. I disobeyed your order to always remember you." Manmana, you directly order me in the Bhagavad Gita in two different verses. Manmana, bhavavad bhakto. In two different verses, in chapter 9, text number 34, in chapter 18, text number 65, you give me the exact same instruction, my Lord, that I'm always to think of you, but yet, even though you ordered me to do this, my Lord, I have disobeyed your order, my Lord, by not thinking of you. So therefore, I'm begging your mercy. Please bless me. I can always think of you and never forget you. Any other question? Okay. All right. See here. How does one develop faith? Is this the word faith? Faith in Krishna?
Faith.
Faith, yeah. Well, faith is, this is a very important question this devotee has asked, because actually faith is the whole foundation. I'll be giving a retreat shortly in near Sydney. And when I leave Johannesburg on the Christmas weekend, I'll be doing a retreat. We'll be studying the whole process of bhakti, which begins with faith. Shraddha, sadhusanga, bhajana kriya, and then anartana vritti, anishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema. The whole process of becoming a pure devotee is built on faith. So how do we develop faith in Krishna? Well, faith is a contagious disease, really. You have to find someone who has complete, unflinching faith in Krishna. You have to serve them with love, and you have to hear from them submissively and inquire from them. In this way, by serving those who have faith, then you will develop that quality of faith. What is Krishna's best quality? Well, that's a pretty subjective question. There are 64 qualities given in the Nectar of Devotion. And every one of them is his best quality, actually. Objectively speaking, every one of Krishna's 64 qualities is his best quality. I mean, could he have some quality that was inferior? No. Krishna is transcendental, therefore every quality of Krishna is his best quality. But from our perspective, the very best quality of Krishna is his mercy. Because that's what's saving us. From our perspective, the best quality is his mercy. How do we overcome spiritual lethargy? I already answered that one. You just have to try to love Krishna, that's all. And then the lethargy will go away. Do devotees believe in astrology or palmistry or influences of planets? Yes and no. The influence of the planets, these things are true. They're Vedic arts, actually. They're coming from the Vedas. However, Prabhupada said they're not for devotees. Because a devotee, he is... When one takes shelter of Krishna, then you actually transcend the influence of the modes of nature. Even Prabhupada said for weddings it wasn't necessary. Astrology. It simply is the boy Krishna conscious and the girl Krishna conscious. I know it's very popular in ISKCON now to do astrology, but how accurate are these astrologers? How expert are they? That's one thing. And the other thing is Prabhupada said it's not necessary for devotees. Although it is certainly, it is there in the Vedic culture. Prabhupada, there was an astrologer consulted at the time of Prabhupada's birth who predicted he would open 108 temples. So astrology is there within Vedic culture, but it's for those who are not on the transcendental platform, according to what Prabhupada, if you can read in Prabhupada's teachings, it's for those who are not transcendentally situated. Because those who are on the transcendental platform, why? Is it not important for them? Because astrology means within the influence of the modes of nature. The astrology means under the influence of the predominating deities of the various planets. That's what astrology means, the demigods. Under the influence of the demigods. So the demigods, they are not the supreme power within this material world. They are acting under the influence of the three modes of material nature. So if one actually takes the Krishna consciousness seriously, then he is situated beyond these three modes, which means he's beyond the influence of the demigods. It means he's beyond the his chart, his astrological, he's actually transcended his astrological chart. He's not under the rules of his chart any longer. He may have been slated to die at a certain point, but Krishna can change that. In fact, Prabhupada even said that at one point. That he was meant to die at that particular time. There was a stroke he had in New York or somewhere. He was actually meant to die at that time, but Krishna gave him an extension. So, if one actually is putting himself completely in the hands of Krishna, totally dependent on him, then he's no longer under the influence of the stars, the astrological influences. And whatever he may have been destined to suffer or enjoy, according to his chart, is now not necessarily going to happen. In other words, astrology is within the influence of the material energy, to put it in simple terms. It's within the material energy. But the devotee is taking shelter of the spiritual energy, which is not under the astrological influence. So, That's the knowledge in that regard. So many strange disturbances, occurrences have occurred during this lecture. Is this Krishna's mercy and will as well? Well, everything is going on by Krishna's influence. That's a fact. Not a blade of grass. So why is this all happening here? I cannot say. But it is. Some strange things have happened tonight. It's a fact. Weird, you know, little, all kinds. Sometimes weird. Sometimes the mature world is very weird. Weird, strange things happen. You know, no matter what's going on. But don't worry, Krishna is still in control. And we just have to be prepared for whatever may come. You know, whatever comes down. By Krishna's arrangement. We just have to say, Krishna. I mean, look what happened to the Vrijavasis. They came back from seeing the Kaliya snake subdued. It was a big relief. They had almost left their bodies. Only Balaram was standing there. They couldn't handle it. It was too much for them. They saw Krishna being smashed by this Kaliya snake. It was just more than they could handle. But somehow or other, Krishna defeated him, and now they got their life back. They're so happy, they're so enlivened. Now they're walking home, they get engulfed by a forest fire. You see, it was one devastation, that was conquered. Now another devastation. I mean, this is nothing. The lights go. Just a matter of the building, just imagine if the whole temple was on fire and we were in danger of being burned to death. That would be pretty weird. Pretty strange experience, you see. And then Krishna, and then the deities step off the altar and they go, they suck up all the fire. There's actually a story like that, Jayapada Goswami related. There was one kingdom in Bengal, and they were devotees, Vaishnavas. And the enemy came, and they were completely outnumbered. There was no hope of fighting off this enemy. And they just forget about it, you know. They were completely outnumbered, outarmed. There was no hope. We're going to be killed. They're going to come in and kill us. It's all over. So we'll just have a kirtan. That's all. Just have a kirtan. Not worry about it. Have a kirtan. And take shelter of Krishna. And then they hear all these explosions. Poom, ka-poom, ka-poom. Like a machine going off. These cannons were... They had some cannon there, you see. But somehow these cannons were going... Just started shooting like a machine gun. And they looked at actually the deities. The deity of Krishna had picked up these cannons and had taken them like a machine gun and killed all the enemies. There was a smell of gun in the deity room. There was a smell of gunpowder. After the whole thing was over and all the enemies were dead. It was just, the deity took the cannon and mowed them down like a machine gun, mowed down all the enemies. It's amazing. So this was, it doesn't have to be 5,000 years ago that something miraculous can happen. You know, it can even happen now. Some enemy can come, it looks like it's all over, we're going to be killed. Well, let's just take shelter of Krishna. I told this story last night when the armed bandits came to our Miami temple. They had all the devotees at gunpoint down on the floor. And I thought, what is this nonsense? I'm going to yell out in the Sringadev's name. And as soon as I did that, the whole thing was neutralized and they were running out the door. The thing became neutralized, you see. So anyway, all kinds of things can happen in this world. But if we always take them as an opportunity to remember Krishna and take shelter of Krishna, then we will never be defeated by anything within this material existence. Okay, let's see. Now these are the new ones here. I got to separate the new ones from the old ones. Take these old ones and I don't get them mixed up. Okay. Is there any conclusive proof that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Since there are many demigods like Shiva, Vishnu, etc. Yeah, Om Tad Vishnu Parabang Padam Sadapas Yanti Saryo Devya Chakshara Tadam. All the demigods look to Lord Vishnu as the Supreme. So at least we know that Vishnu is the Supreme according to the evidence given in the Rig Veda. The demigods all look to Vishnu's above. So now we study about Vishnu. We study, there's not just one Vishnu, but there's many, many Vishnu. There's Shiradakashai Vishnu, there's Garbhadakashai Vishnu, there's Karanadakashai Vishnu, there's the quadruple expansions. And then if you go back, you trace all these Vishnus back. Where did this Vishnu come from? Where did that Vishnu come from? You go all the way back to the original Vishnu from whom all the Vishnus came, and his name is Krishna. That's why, even though we are Krishnites, we are called Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas means devotees of Vishnu. We are devotees of Vishnu. We accept Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form known as Krishna. Can we go back to God only by following Srila Prabhupada? Well, yes and no. I mean, you could become a pure devotee without being a member of ISKCON, but it's not easy. Let's put it that way. I mean, there are pure devotees who were around before Prabhupada. You know, there's thousands of years of pure devotees before Prabhupada came, and they went back to Godhead. Maharaj Kulashekhar was not even in the Brahma. He was not even in our particular Sampradaya, and he went back to Godhead. He was a Sri Vaishnava, and he went back to Godhead. So we don't say that this is the only way to go back to Godhead. But practically speaking, right now in the modern world, where is the best place to get guidance on how to become a pure devotee? That's here in Prabhupada movement. That's a pin. I don't see anywhere where you're going to get this kind of training, this kind of guidance. Philosophically speaking, no. Practically speaking, yes. Where are you going to get this kind of guidance? See, we're not a sectarian religion. Did you have to belong to our church and you're going to go to hell? We're not a sectarian religion. Prabhupada said that anybody who develops love of God, they are first class. Doesn't matter if they're a Christian, a Jew, a Hindu, a Muslim, or whatever. We don't say you have to be a member of this organization to go back to Godhead. However, where are you going to get the training? You see, here we have a pure devotee, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the most empowered Vaishnava in the history of the world, who's giving in full detail the science of bhakti, that any person, anyone, who sincerely takes up these teachings can become a pure devotee in one lifetime and go back to Godhead. So it is theoretically possible for someone outside of our movement to become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead, but it's very difficult. I don't know what the odds are. They're very slim odds. So the best thing is that one should take the advantage of this movement, go back to Godhead now. Take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement. Go back to home, back to Godhead. Okay, here comes the light again. Okay. All right. Now the next question is, where is it stated in the Bhagavad Gita to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? It's not stated in the Bhagavad Gita directly to chant this particular mantra. We never said the Bhagavad Gita says you have to chant Hare Krishna Mantra. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you must always chant my glories. That's what's stated in the Bhagavad Gita. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedaishcha charvairaham eva vejo vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. So that means the other Vedas also give us information to help us realize Krishna. It's not only the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says by all the Vedas I am to be known. So within the Vedic literature there is also the Kali Santarana Upanishad, which states that in this age of Kali, there is no mantra more powerful, more effective for achieving perfection than Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Krishna himself appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What mantra did he chant?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So you have to understand what is the purport of the Bhagavad Gita. You see. And if you understand the purport, then you understand the Bhagavad Gita is saying that I must chant Hare Krishna. If you understand the purport, the inner meaning, the full meaning. But literally it does not specifically say to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The Bhagavad Gita tells us that all the Vedas, all the Vedic wisdom is telling us how to understand Krishna. So that means we have to take the other wisdom from the Vedas, which supports and which enhances the practical application of the Bhagavad Gita, and utilize that as Prabhupada has done. Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Padyavali, so many scriptures that Prabhupada has referred to. So, any more questions? Or maybe we're done now. Is there some? I think we covered all of them. Oh, another sheet. Okay, good. Let's see. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful and does not take offense. So why not chant Jai, in other words, why not chant the Panchatattva mantra? Well, yeah, this has been, this issue has been raised before. So why do we chant Hare Krishna instead of the Panchatattva mantra? It's considered even more powerful in one sense. Well, Lord Chaitanya taught us to chant Hare Krishna. That's the first thing. In other words, by chanting Hare Krishna, you're actually worshipping the Panchatattva. That potency of the Panchatattva, chanting Hare Krishna is the best. In other words, the Panchatattva mantra is not the only way to worship them, but chanting Hare Krishna also worships the Panchatattva. If you chant Hare Krishna in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, then that Hare Krishna chanting has the same power and the same potency as the Panchatattva mantra. And Lord Chaitanya is actually, Lord Chaitanya's most confidential devotee, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has told us specifically how we should become pure devotees of Lord Chaitanya by chanting the Panchatattva mantra first and then chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So, one devotee left our movement and he started a whole movement saying that we should chant the names of Nittai and Gauranga because they're more powerful than Hare Krishna. He started his own movement. But this is his own concocted teaching. This is complete concoction. He's not following the who are the chief interpreters or presenters, is a more accurate word. Who are the chief presenters of Lord Chaitanya's teachings? The six Goswamis. Did they tell us to chant the Panchatattva mantra and not Hare Krishna? No. If you consult the teachings of the Goswamis, you'll see that actually we are meant to chant. The Panchatattva mantra, we chant it first, and then we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So we should follow the path Mahajana Yena Gatasya Pantha. We should follow the path of the great Acharyas, not concoct our own path, but follow the ways of the great Acharyas who are leading us out of this darkness of material existence. So let's see here. So I guess I have any more questions now?
If you love someone, you follow the instruction or you make somebody as their own man. When you love somebody, you worship them your own way or you want...
Yeah, if you love someone, do you worship them in your own way or do you do what pleases them? You try to please yourself by the way you worship them? Or do you try to please them by the way you worship them? So obviously the answer is, if you truly love someone, then you will serve them in the way that pleases them, not in the way that pleases you. If you're trying to serve them the way that pleases you, that means you're serving yourself, actually. You're not trying to serve them. You're just trying to serve yourself. Any other questions?
Would that be the same way chanting Panchatattva or Hare Krishna?
Yes, the same principle in chanting the Panchatattva mantra. Someone thinks, actually this person just wanted to start his own movement, that's all. He wanted to be Jagat Guru, you see, on his own independent program. He started his own Nittai Gauranga program. And using the scriptures to support his position, where it glorifies the chanting of Nittai Gauranga. But he failed in that. He's supposed to follow the Acharyas. He tried to become an Acharya by his own interpretation of the scriptures, rather than following the way, the interpretation, not presentation, but by following the presentation of the scriptures given by the great Acharyas coming from Lord Chaitanya's time, namely, this is Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur. In this way, the Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, jumping over the head of these great teachers, going to the scriptures and twisting them in such a way to present himself as somebody who has some higher realization than all of these great acharyas. He's simply showing himself to be the biggest mudha, the biggest fool. And people in initiating disciples, you see, making them fools also. The donkey guru increase. The mudha guru. creating a mudha guru. You have a mudha guru, you become a mudha disciple. You see? So if you want to be, if you want a spiritual master, go for a paramahamsa. Don't go for a mudha who's concocting his own teachings. Go for a paramahamsa means one who is purely transmitting the teachings of the previous acharyas. He's the one you want as your spiritual master. Not one of these, self-made jagat gurus, who's trying to show that he knows more than Prabhupada, he knows more than Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, etc. Anything else? If there's nothing else, then we can stop here. And we're very happy you've all come tonight, braving the weather. And we're so happy you all came tonight for this program. We're very delighted to be back here with all of you wonderful devotees here in Indonesia, South Africa. It's a very beautiful deities you have here, a beautiful temple room, and beautiful hearts of the Vaishnavas. So very happy and we're going to Durban tomorrow, then we're coming back on Wednesday, and we'll be going to Vitesha's home on Wednesday or Thursday. We need to discuss. Wednesday or Thursday we'll have a program. We can maybe discuss. We're thinking it's easier if we come during the day, like on Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock. That way, because we have our facility for staying all here. Would that work? We can come on 4 o'clock on Thursday? Yeah, so there'll be a program at 4. That's it? Anything else? 4 o'clock on Thursday at Pitesh Sukraj House in Pretoria. There'll be a program here. Everybody's invited. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbors. Bring the Prime Minister. And we'll have, let's have a nice program there. And then we have plans to come back then, and when it gets winter time again, when more people are here, they're not down in the retreat. Oh, you're coming here to your winter time. It's what, next June or something like that. We plan to come back then again. So we thank you very much for your participation in this movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Please become more and more immersed in this nectarian ocean of Krishna Bhakti. And if you do so, all of your problems, all of your anxieties, they will evaporate. It's like a glass of water sitting on a table. Eventually it will disappear. So all your anxieties, all your miseries, all your confusion, delusion, bewilderment, and it'll all go away if you just keep chanting and following these principles. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.